So record. Hi, friends. Welcome back to Grace and Grit. We are here with Sarah Daigle, and we are continuing a conversation that we had last month about communication and the importance of communication. So, Sarah, why don't you tell us why honest communication is so important?
Well, I see communication as one of the most important things in relationships, especially marriage, but also parenting and friendships and in the church, everywhere. It's just the words we say matter and how we say really matter. I mean, our words either heal or they cut, you know. And the other day, though, my daughter said, "Mom, I am so much closer to you since you've learned not to be afraid of conflict." She's like, "This is why I respect you and why we're such good friends." And it got me thinking to who I used to be and how afraid I was of conflict, because I grew up in a home where, anger wasn't allowed, and that can be a good thing. Nobody wants people flying off the handle and yelling all the time, but I also just really learned to subdue any upset feelings that I had. And I kind of entered, marriage and parenting, like as soon as there was the slightest edge to anyone's voice, I would just freeze. Like, and it was not healthy. And my oldest daughter, she would come to me upset about something, and I would immediately just freeze, and I'd be like, "I can't talk about this until you're not angry anymore," or but when I learned to not do that always and to be more comfortable and to go into a room and sit on her bed and really talk something out, that just did wonders for our relationship. And so I feel healthier as well. I don't do that every time. I still sometimes, if one or the other of us is upset, I still ask that we wait, because nobody's super wise when they're angry. Sometimes we really just need to be okay with disagreeing and feel somebody else's, upset emotions and not shut down over that. And it's very empowering, very liberating, and very healthy for our relationships.
When there's a big difference in pausing a conversation and avoiding the conversation. And what you said, where there's times that you will still ask for space and a little bit of time, that's healthy, right? Because what you're saying is if you have that conversation in the heat of the moment, something may be said that should not be said.
I
And,
love that
you know,
pausing, or yeah,
and
that's good.
so. I think it's so important to one, read the cues, right? So you're understanding yourself, but you're also seeing where the other person is to be able to evaluate, will this be a productive conversation or will this be a destructive conversation, right?
Yes.
And so can you go a little bit further into and talk a little bit more about the difference between that waiting to speak in the heat of the moment versus avoiding conflict altogether, and maybe give an example of, like you said, what it used to look like for you and what it really looks like for you now when you play it out.
Yes, it used to be avoiding conflict looked like me shutting down for 2 months while the topic just burned in my head, and it would upset me because there were some big issues in my marriage that were very difficult to talk about, and I would shut down over it. And so I kind of wanted to do that with the kids, though, too. And I think in any relationship you're in, it's really unfair. Like, to just shut down. I mean, it's different when you try to resolve it and it can't be resolved, which, that was the situation in my marriage. I tried to resolve it, couldn't resolve it. So I was left hanging. But with our children or with a spouse who's willing to work through something, what that looks like for me now is, I can go sit on my teenager's bed and I can talk through. I remember one of the last times, my daughter needed to talk, I was in there for quite a while, and she was upset and I wasn't happy. And we just, it was just a dialogue back and forth. And even though she was upset and I wanted to exit that room, I forced myself to stay there. And I stayed there for maybe an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in those times, you know, whenever we can give, you know, there's give and take, and we can't give, especially to our kids all the time, or even to our spouse. But when we can, and they're upset, and we take those moments when they're upset to really just acknowledge everything that they're saying that's true. You know, if there's even the slightest truth to it, to just acknowledge that and give that feedback, like, I hear you saying this, and I understand that that is upsetting for you. And yes, I could have done better here. I could have done differently here. And then keep being honest with where you're coming from as well. And if it's a child, you know, hold your ground and don't give in to your child, but just face it. You know, there's nothing to run from. We are so human. This is a fallen world. And we have to know that the best relationships in our lives are actually going to have some very, very difficult moments. Mm-hmm. You know, whether we're married, whether we're parenting, whether we're dating, like, we really do want those we love. We want it to always feel good. And I think as women, like, I feel like emotional maturity comes and happens when we actually expect something different, because nobody's perfect. We're all human. I'm going to expect hard times with anyone I'm in a meaningful relationship with. And then to embrace that internally. And when it happens, that doesn't identify the amount of your love for each other. That doesn't, you know, decide whether or not you're a good parent. It just means your child's very human. You're very human. You're going to make mistakes. They're going to make mistakes. And to fully embrace that, I think, is the difference here.
Yeah, I think part of that too is the expectations that we set. And being able to be self-aware enough in these situations to even say, for example, when you said it, to acknowledge you're wrong in it, right? And maybe there's a time that you are not wrong, right? Because those times come, and I think we see things so black and white in the wrong, not wrong, you know, wanting to stand the ground. And sometimes it's having enough self-awareness to have enough perspective to look at the other person and see where they're coming from and how they may have come to that conclusion because of a potential false expectation that existed, right?
Yes.
And so sometimes it's not a who was right or who was wrong. Sometimes it's, oh, I can understand why you saw it like that. This
yes,
is
exactly.
Why I saw it like this. Okay, how do we need to adjust for the next time? And and I think because we live in this, and you talk about this a little bit in your blog, the flight, freeze, dawn is called
fawn.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, that was the first time I saw that one, right? Because I
yes.
used to be
yes.
like fight, flight, or freeze.
yes.
And so, but as we were reading that and talking about that, it's, I think some of that comes into play when the expectations are either so high
mm-hmm.
or so low that there's no feeling like there's a middle ground, right?
Yes.
And the middle ground really is, hey, we both care about each other and we both don't want to be mad at each other or hurt by each other or have any misunderstandings. And so I think that's part of it, in understanding there is a middle ground and we don't have to always fight and we don't have to freeze and we don't have to flee and we don't have to fawn, right? We can sit in it and ask vulnerable questions like, why did you feel like that? And the reason that's a vulnerable question is because we have to be ready for the response that might be like, well, because you, when you said this or when you did this, it made me feel like that. And so it's just, honesty is so important in our relationships, like you said.
Yes.
And we don't want to offend the other person and we don't want to hurt the other person, right? But we want to be honest. So how would you give advice to someone who wants to be honest, but the honesty may mean that it may hurt someone else's feelings because it's not necessarily agreeing with everything that they do or they believe or they say, you know, whatever the case may be.
Yes. Let's just say, for instance, let's say I have a girlfriend who asks me a personal question about herself. And let's say she goes, "Do I come across needy sometimes?" If I think that she does, and that's an area of her life that she needs to work on, then I need to look at her kindly and say, yes, sometimes I think you do, but I know that you don't want to be. And the fact that you're even asking about it means that you don't want to be, you know, and it's not anything kind,
right,
along with our honesty. People can tell if we love them. And usually if somebody's asking, they kind of know already that that might be a problem. And an insecure person will ask you, wanting you to assure them that that's not true. But a secure person is asking you, wanting honest feedback so that they can know and work on it. So if somebody's asking me that, it's not my job to cover for their insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's definitely not my job to be dishonest when they're really genuinely wanting an honest, honest feedback. So I just think that that's so very important. And I think sometimes we're not authentic. We anticipate conflict rather than just anticipating that this might feel a little uncomfortable, but there's this beautiful space where we can be human. And it takes a lot of vulnerability to even ask a question like that. And like you said earlier, I loved what you said, like when you're already in a conversation, to look at the person who's maybe in conflict with you, to even ask them a question like, why did you feel that way? That can feel very scary because you have to be 200% prepared for them to come back and say, "I felt that way because you da 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 da," and maybe you did something really wrong or said something really wrong, you know. And so the whole thing is just vulnerable. But that's what I want us to look at, is that when we avoid vulnerability, we actually hinder intimacy, especially with somebody we're dating or married to. We have got to be willing to just face things as they are, real and raw, even if it hurts, and then stay in that space, even for days, even if it's real and raw for days, and come out on the other side closer, or, understanding each other better. But we have to sit with that, with the discomfort of vulnerability, and realize that in the end, it will feed intimacy. Because if we're anything less than real, it's going to hinder, like whoever we're with can tell if we're not being ourselves. If we have like this plastic formality about ourselves, it just does not connect with people. Like there's a reason, even on social media, people connect with you when you're real and you're raw and you're honest and you talk about, gosh, I used to be, you know, a stay-at-home homeschool mom, and now I'm a single working mom and my kids eat whatever's easy, you know, even though I want to give them more, I just can't always. You know, people connect with that because everyone's going through a lot. But how much more when we're really close to someone and it's the most meaningful relationship we have, like for us to be able to say, gosh, I had a really hard day. I really messed up at work. My client was angry with me today. That is making ourselves not just vulnerable, but lovable in a sense, like, cause we don't have this shell. We don't have to be perfect.
Yeah. And we forget. So I'm so glad that you brought up the intimacy part, mm-hmm. because we forget that scripture says love covers a multitude of sins, right?
Yes.
But if we can never show each other our sins, that means we were never intimate with each other. That means we can't love that person well through whatever their struggle is. So the example you gave about your friend who was vulnerable enough to say, am I needy? That she was saying, and I'm letting you into my sin, in essence, right? Mm-hmm. My desire to cling on to something other than the Lord, someone other than the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. To get fulfilled by something else, because that's the needy nature, right? You know, in essence. And she was saying, she's inviting you in. Mm-hmm. So to not be honest in that moment, you break that bond of intimacy, because now you're holding back when she's trying to allow you to come into the deeper parts of her, you know? Yeah. And so I'm in a small group with a group of girls, right, that we started years back, all go to different churches. And we were reading a book. I want to say it was Jenny Allen's, but one of her books. And she talked about the 2%. And there's always 2% that people hold back, right? Because yes. You don't want to look bad. You don't want to be ashamed. You don't want, you know, whatever, anything basically that's going to make you kind of have to dig into your pride a little bit. That's mm-hmm. that 2% that we hold back. But if you want real, raw, honest intimacy and friendship and marriage with your kids, you cannot hold back that 2%. So that means that as a mom, for example, I have two boys. I have to be willing to talk about when I was a teenager and I dated and it went bad.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I made mistakes because I was being needy or whatever the case may be, right? Or I was being too opinionated or whatever the case may be, so that they can then learn and not repeat the same mistake. But yes. If I hold back from the people closest to me, how will we ever be in real community with people and ever grow in our relationships with each other and with Christ ultimately?
Yes. Well, I had to think back to the conversation you and I had earlier this week. I remember thinking for days, gosh, I need to call Jessica and ask her about this and see how she's feeling. And I put it off and I put it off and I put it off. And one day I was like, I'm calling Jessica today. And I was so at peace in that phone call, even though it was a difficult topic for both of us. And we were so honest with each other and it went so well. And we weren't even in conflict. We were talking about a few other people who could have been, you know. And so it was a sensitive conversation, but it affected us, but it wasn't, you know, directly us. But just even that, like anything difficult, if you're wanting to run from anything difficult, like ask yourself why. Mm-hmm. I have relatives that I differ with pretty greatly on some various things, and just to be able to engage in conversation with them about it without feeling like I have to be understood or I have to be accepted or I have to be any of this, like I've gotten to a point where I'm just at peace, like mm-hmm. I'm okay. Certain people don't agree with me and that's okay with me. And gosh, that is so liberating. And when I accept that, I can be in conversations a lot better than when I don't accept that and I have to have that approval and that acceptance. So yeah.
Well, and communication as a whole is there for us to understand, hopefully to be understood, mm-hmm. but that may not always be the case, right? There may be times where we will not be understood, and whether it's something that we differ theologically on or practically on, whatever the case may be, right? We have to, if we can take the position of wanting to understand, then we kind of put down the position of needing to defend, because if the whole time we just want to be understood and our side to be understood, we're going to defend. But if we seek to understand and then pray in that the Lord would bring revelation to the other person so that you can be understood, mm-hmm. then then you're in a much healthier place. But I was going to say, there are times that we do need to just remain silent, right? And as much as communication is good, there may be times that we need to be silent. And do you want to, you know, maybe talk a little bit about that as well?
Yes, absolutely. I think silence for me right now, you know, I have to think of wives and girlfriends. This is where it hits mostly for me. Like in a marriage or any kind of a romantic relationship, your man does not need to hear all of your estrogen laden emotions. You know, like we're a lot sometimes. And so, I mean, one little example is just like, what if your husband's late a lot? What if your boyfriend's late a lot? You know, are you gonna, when he finally gets there, are you gonna say, why are you always so late? Like, and be distraught and upset. You know, if you're married and you're cooking dinner for your husband and he comes home late a lot, you know, maybe you could just start eating when it's dinner time. And when he gets there, you give him a plate with a smile, you know, or you discuss at a different time about how important family dinner is to you. But not when he just walks in the door, he's exhausted, he already knows he's late, he's already hoping you're not upset. Like, hold your words, hold your emotions, wait for a good time, and then say, hey, could we talk about family dinner? I would love to have family dinner on time. And do you know what a difference that could make in relationships everywhere if women learned when to be silent and when to speak? And I think some of the times when our emotions are the most upset and we most want to speak is when we most need to be quiet. And I'm pretty big on that because the timing us ladies use and the way we say things can push a man away. But when we're willing to wait and say it differently, we can awake some sort of desire for them to protect and help the problem and come to our rescue. It looks very different than criticizing. It looks very different than anger. It looks very different than just whatever we're spewing out at the moment. So, you know, we could say, I feel really anxious when you're late. I worry about something's wrong. Like, I haven't heard from you. You're super late. And I feel really anxious. Or we could say, it means a lot to me to have family dinner on time with the kids. And when you're not there, it feels like we don't get that connection once a day as a family. But that needs to happen later, not right when he walks in the door. Just smile, feed him, you know, and your moment will come and your moment will actually be very beautiful if he's a good man and he cares about you. Just that communication aspect is so beautiful to me. And I, you know, you do need a good, kind man to be able to even do that. I want to speak to these ladies who don't even have that. Some ladies, no matter what they try, how kind they are, how they try to say it, it never goes well unless it's the man's way, the way he wants it. And that can be a very, very difficult situation to be in. But I just want to speak to those ladies because I know what that's like. And I want to just encourage them that, you know, use your voice anyway. If you're not heard, at least you expressed it and you're not holding it in. No woman should ever need to hold in and treat herself like a doormat. You know, whether or not she's treated that way, don't treat yourself that way. Like, that is anytime a woman has to shut down, that is actually a cult-like thing. We just need to learn how to speak wisely.
Yeah, I think you hit it on the money when you say the timing, right? Because the timing can either bring about anger and rage and all of that, or you can have a productive conversation, right? And like you said, you know, especially to those women who, I mean, their husbands are just not great, good men, right? And they won't. I think you sit into what scripture, where scripture calls you to just respect your husband, right? Mm-hmm. He's called to love you and you're called to respect him. And respect, like you said, does not mean that you're a doormat. It does not mean that your opinion doesn't matter. Your voice doesn't matter. It doesn't mean any of that. And if he is treating you like that, that's where you take that back to the Lord, and he's going to be accountable for every harsh word that he's ever said to you. But you just be respectful, right? And there's sometimes that honestly, we may not be able to serve the plate with a smile on our face, right? But as long as we don't do it with the attitude and the slamming and all of the things behind it, then it's okay. It's okay if it's just very quiet, and it's okay if it's just, here you go. And the whole time it's just, Lord, soften his heart, and Lord, help us to be able to communicate better. But in general, in relationships, timing is what matters, because if I'm angry and I'm going to address the fact that you're late, or for me in my situation, it's I'm late, right? Like I'm the one that's always running late, right?
There's always one. Yeah.
And so my husband, you know, but we had to talk about it. We had to come to a compromise, right? And so for him, he likes to arrive somewhere 15 minutes early. That drives me insane. I don't feel like that's productive. I feel like that's just, I could be doing something in that time. So for me, it's like, okay, how about 5? I understand you don't like getting there right on time or just a few minutes after. I can do 5 minutes early if you can agree to not be there 15 minutes early. It's just a give and take. But this conversation is needed. This conversation is so good. For our friends that are listening, if you want to know more about Sarah and her story, or you want to hear the previous conversation we had, head on over to her website. It's sarah-daigle.org, and just take a look at her story, her blog that's there. Listen to previous conversations, and hopefully we'll catch you the next time that we get together and just chat, you know, because that's what we are, two girlfriends just having a good chat about some topics that are really, really important out there.
Thank you, Jessica.
Bye.